Great. Let's get started, shall we? Thank you so much for joining in with Pilates. I appreciate that. It's not something we do on, I don't know, it's just an outreach to a load of people, but I love how they have worship sung over them every single week. And I just say a few minutes about the Bible at the end, a verse from the Bible, and pray over everybody, but have some amazing conversations over cake where people put back on the calories they've burnt over the last 45 minutes. I did calories, like I just pressed a little thing on my watch to see how many calories we burnt, and you'll be pleased to know we burnt 15 calories in what we did. So, no, you probably did more, to be honest, but there we go. My name is Ruth, and I head up the Sports Factory, which is an initiative that I'm passionate about, and the aim of it is to link the church and the community through sport. And I want to tell you a few stories about sports ministry, and then I want to share a little bit about, it's about team and discipleship a bit tonight, so I just want to share a little bit about what we do in the Sports Factory. Hopefully it'll be quite interactive, so feel free to butt in at any time and ask questions if you want to, but there'll be questions at the end as well. So I'm going to, if I can have the slides, is that all right? I'm on, you guys are amazing. Thank you so much. Cool. I started doing sports ministry quite a few years ago. I worked in Gloucestershire for 5.5 years, and I lived on a fairly rough estate in Gloucestershire. And one day, so the aim was to link a church at the bottom of the hill. If I just click along, where am I aiming? Or anywhere, does it matter? There. Oh, I've not turned it on. I'm on green, all good. Here we go. So I lived in a place called Nailsworth, which is beautiful, and at the bottom of the hill, it's really lovely. And at the top of the hill is an estate, and these are some of the houses on the estate. And right in the heart of the estate is a school, which is this school. It's a primary school that used to be a secondary school and had amazing sports facilities. And then next to that, or just about 5 minutes walk from that, was this, which is a multi-use games area. And actually on this photo, which was taken from Google Images, you can see a load of a few teenagers hanging out on a motorbike, with a motorbike, and they were there every single day. I actually know those people, despite it being on Google Maps or whatever. And I used to go with a guy called Bernard, who is this guy in the red. He was, me and him went every single week, more than once a week sometimes, to go to the Mugger, the multi-use games area. And Bernard was 84 years old, and he did the number of press-ups for how old he was every single day. So challenge for you all, however old you are, can you do that number of press-ups? But Bernard could, that was about his limits of sport. He was quite keen on watching cricket, and he used to play badminton when he was younger. But Bernard was amazing. His wife died when he was about in his 70s, and he just prayed and said, God, will you use me? And then I kind of came along and started going to, well, I got employed and went to his church a bit. It was like a 50-50 job at a different church. And it was at the bottom of the hill were two churches with the average age of the congregation being Bernard's age. And at the top of the hill, there was no church, but had a decent sized estate with loads of trouble and drink and drugs and like violent, not kind of big gang stuff or anything like that, but just had estate issues. And Bernard was just like, I'm in, what do you want me to do, Ruth? And I said, come with me every week to the multi-use games area. So Bernard and myself went, the first time we went with a guy called David, and we drove up to the Mugger, which is this place, and we parked outside, and I had a clapped out Fiesta, which had been battered several times, partly due to my driving. I blame everyone else, though. And Bernard turned up in this sparkling, amazing Jaguar. It's a gold Jaguar. And then this guy, David, had an incredible car as well. And I turned up, and I looked at these people, and the girl in white there is called Hattie. And I looked at Hattie, and there's a lad called Carlos. And I thought, oh, my goodness, what am I doing? Like, what am I doing? I'm bringing two older people and me to tell you about Jesus in your territory, and all I have is a basketball and a football. What am I playing at? And I got the sense, you know that bit in the Bible where with David and Goliath, I felt like David right there. I felt like, oh my goodness, this is a ridiculous idea. And that morning I'd been reading where God says, or David says to Goliath, you come with sword and spear, but I come with you to you in the name of the Lord our God. And I just felt like, okay, I come with a basketball and a football. And I come with Bernard and David, off we go. And we prayed and we turned up. And do you know what? By the end of our first session, we had a little basketball match going on and it was amazing. And we went every single week and we got chatting to people every single week. And there was no rocket science about it. Literally, we just turned up whatever the weather for a few hours and we got to know people. And as a result of getting to know people, we just got involved in their lives a little bit and saw some cool stuff happen. We got to know this guy who's an alcoholic who walked past every single day, and his name was Mike, and we chatted to him. We got to know loads of families, and we just really enjoyed it. And Bernard, one day, I turned up late, and Bernard had bought himself a hoodie and his own basketball, and he was chatting and playing basketball with Carlos, the roughest kid on the estate, his surname is King, and his mum is called Joe King, and his dad is, what's his dad's name? Nick King. Joe King and Nick King. And they lived in a three-bedroom house, and they had five kids in that house and two adults, and every evening they would change the lounge into a bedroom. It was crazy. And actually their house is on there. It's one of the houses at the back. But I loved Carl. He was like one of my favourite lads. He was brilliant. But anyway, one day we did tournaments up there and set up barbecues and just had loads of fun and got in a bit of trouble here and there where we did the wrong thing. And I set up a basketball club at the school, which, a wrong way. There we go. There's the school. Actually, I think 5 feet going. No, haven't got it on this one. Oh, yeah, the school hall is kind of top right. I set up a basketball. That might even be the basketball club. I set up a basketball club and told people about Jesus at the end of the basketball club and then invited them along to the Christians in Sport camp in the summer. And so the Christians in Sport camp is amazing. If you know any sporty kids, take them. It's brilliant. But it often has quite well-behaved sporty kids. And I took some not well-behaved sporty kids and the alarms got set off. And in the prayer meetings every day for all the children on the camp, it was always the same names that came up, which were always the people that I took, which was quite funny. They got lots of prayer that week for causing lots of trouble. But it was amazing. They really engaged with lots of it as well, and it's just incredible. And then one day I was praying, and I was at the same time doing a course at uni and had to write an assignment for community engagement. And I was thinking, it would be really cool if we could get these guys here. Wait a minute. At the mugger, if we could train those guys up to become qualified sports coaches and tell them about Jesus. Imagine if those guys were able to coach sports in their own environment. Wouldn't that be brilliant, I thought. And I was driving home one day from uni, and I felt like God just said, do it. I dare you to do it. And I said, okay, I'll need some money. So I emailed somebody and said, I don't suppose you know anyone who could give me some money for this. And they emailed back, said, I'll give you £10,000. And I was like, wow, I wasn't expecting that. It was incredible. And so we advertised, and in the school, we put loads of invites to apply to become part of this Pulse Academy thing. And we got 12 people. Carlos was one of them, 12 people who said, yeah, they wanted to be part of it. And we interviewed them. And then we, actually, this is the picture of the Pulse Academy. Carlos, who I was on about, is the one who's doing, like, he's sitting on Tom's head on one side, and he's got a scruffy boy on your left-hand side. And anyways, great lad. So these guys all applied, and each week they would learn to be a sports coach for 2 hours and get a sports qualification. And then they'd come back to my house, and the older people in the church would cook them a meal, which was interesting because lots of these guys didn't even know how to eat a meal. You know, it was just foreign to them. And one guy just had cereal every time rather than whatever was cooked. And then we did a Christianity Explored course, and God just showed up. And one day I had a barbecue in my garden and invited all of them along. And three of them randomly lived on my cul-de-sac, which was amazing. And And I had a meeting to go to. So they were all having a barbecue in my garden and I had to go to a meeting. So I walked out of my house and then walked past my garden, past, like they couldn't see me, but I walked past a hedge. And I heard Sam, who is the joker in the middle, who he was saying, I was in this intense prayer session last night and I just stopped next to my hedge and was like, what? You're not going to be a Christian. And the story of Sam was that he lived two or three doors down from me and he was in a really messy relationship with his girlfriend and there was lots of drugs involved. He had failed at school and all that sort of stuff. And he had become a Christian without me even knowing about it. And what was interesting about that as well, the school that we were working, that we were helping out at and these guys volunteered at, a teacher came up to Sam and said, are you Sam Martin? And he said, yeah. And she said, I used to be your teacher when you were really small and I used to pray for you all the time. I was a Christian and he'd become a Christian. He was really ill. He nearly died of cancer when he was small and that's why she prayed for him so much. And he'd become a Christian. It was absolutely incredible that that had happened. And then Sam had to move out from his girlfriend's because that was a mess and wasn't working. So he actually moved in with Bernard, which was amazing. And then I was like, how are we going to disciple Sam? And I took him on as an intern, which was a disaster, but brilliant and messy. And then Tom, the guy on the bottom left of the right picture, the guy that Carlos is sitting on his head, Tom, he was 16 at the time when this was taken. And he helped on a weekend away with year sixes. And he helped out. And when he was helping out on this weekend away, one of the year fives or sixes apparently went up to him and said, do you believe in Jesus? And he said, I don't know. And it really bugged him. And on the Tuesday night after that weekend, I went up to Tom in a store cupboard at the school and said, Tom, you are amazing. I just felt like it was really my job to encourage them because nobody encouraged them. I went, Tom, you're amazing this weekend. The way you hung out with the children was incredible. Thanks for what you did. And he turned around to me and said, he came in, Ruth. And I went, who came in? He went, he came in. I was like, who? He said, Jesus came in my life at the weekend. He said, now all I want to do is read the Bible and pray. And I started to cry. I had to move. I just was like, wow, and moved out the room and called my parents and said, Tom's become a Christian. And told lots of the people, the church who had been amazingly praying for them. And I've got goosebumps as I say it. And Tom became an intern as well. And that was a disaster. I had two people who were a mess, who were my interns, and I'd persuaded the people who I was employed by that it was a good idea. And there were loads that I went away to New Zealand for 3 weeks over Christmas randomly. And when I came back, one of them had got engaged, bad mistake, and one of them had got arrested. And I was like, oh man, these are my interns, and this is a disaster. But it's a great opportunity to try and disciple them. And I don't know what Tom's like in his faith now, if I'm honest. I'm not sure he's anywhere in his faith. But I took him to South Africa on a mission trip and all that sort of stuff. And he won't have forgotten that stuff. But Sam is really still going strong. And he's a taxi driver now and he's telling everybody in his taxi about Jesus. And he's amazing. And I met up with him a while ago. And yeah, he's put on a bit of weight since being a taxi driver. But he's doing really well. And the reason I tell you that story is because I just want to inspire you and say all we had was a ball. That was really the only common ground that we had was a ball and a passion that we wanted to see people come to know Jesus. And so in Gloucestershire, I saw that it worked. And I moved to Norwich seven years ago, something like that. I'm a Cromer girl and moved back this way and just thought, let's give it a go. Let's give this a go again, but let's try and do it in and through a local church, because it was a challenge to say, once these guys became Christians, which church did they go to? Because actually the church had some amazing people with an average age of 80 something. And to be honest, like, I took the guys to that church, but it didn't really work because they had, like, I don't know, they saw Bernard as an amazing granddad figure, but in terms of having friends there, I don't know whether it works so much. So that's why I'm quite interested in this project. What does church revitalization look like? I don't really know necessarily the answer, but there's something that I'm really interested in, and I'm really passionate about discipleship. And I learned so many mistakes from Sam and Tom, how to disciple them. I used to take them to church once a month on a Sunday, and they had to say in front of church what they'd been up to because they were doing all sorts of stuff in schools. We turned up one Sunday morning at 9:30 to a sort of 9:30 congregation of, it was like quite decently high Anglican church or whatever. We turned up and I sat down and I was like, "You two both smell of alcohol. Are you still drunk?" And they were like, "Yeah." And I was thinking, "Oh no, I'm meant to have you up the front and you're meant to be like the people who are Christians. What are you doing?" And loads of messy things, loads of practical things as well. They turned up one day and one of them had the debt collector around that morning and said to me, "Ruth, he's coming round again in a few hours. I need £1,500. And I was like, "Oh, I don't know what to do about that." And the other ones just fell off his motorbike and walked to our meeting. And we got there and they said, "Ruth, what do we do?" And I said, "Let's just worship God, shall we?" And they knew two songs. And so I just played the two songs on the piano and we just sang. And I just said, "God, I don't know what to do here." And I can't remember what the outcomes were, but we sorted it somehow. But it was just really practical of saying, "Well, what do you do when you don't know what to do?" Well, you pray and you worship. And I was just trying to model the simple stuff. When a little tiny story about Tom, when I first met Tom, it was at a youth club that I was helping out at on a Friday night, and he was a disaster. He was like this big guy who was bossy, and I had to referee a football match, and there was lots of Toms versus lots of Toms, and I don't know anything really about football, and I was refereeing, I was petrified. And I can remember coming away from that saying, "God, I'd love for Tom to become a Christian, but I know that's really difficult." And the next morning I woke up to the song Mighty to Save, which was playing on whatever I had. And I was just like, "God, you're mighty to save. Please would you save Tom? You're mighty to save." Anyway, when Tom became a Christian, a few weeks later I saw him walking around on the streets and I said, "Tom, what are you listening to on your headphones?" And he came and he went, "Mighty to Save, Ruth. I'm listening to Mighty to Save." And it's like, oh my goodness, like God is just amazing at doing that. I don't know how he even knew that song, but that was his favourite song. Anyway, enough about Tom and the guys. I moved to Norwich and we started doing stuff here. And I just want to share a few things about how we set stuff up. And that's about it, really, if that's right with you. Great. So I've got some sheets that Jonathan printed off, so later I can give those to you. The Pulse Academy and pretty much everything I do is based on something that I stole, which is safety nets and tight ropes. And I'm going to draw it up here. Vicky's over here, and Vicky is on our team. She's been part of the team since October, but prior to that, she's been part of the Sports Factory team at St. Thomas. And Vicky is amazing and actually has an essay due in on Friday and has still come here tonight and has two essays due on Friday, and she hasn't started one of them because she's been so busy. And and she's still here tonight, and she's sitting next to and it's on theology, so she's sitting next to PJ saying, help me, what's the answers? You're like trained in this stuff. But I'm going to get Vicky up in a while to say what it's like to be on the other side of this. So I'm leading it, but Vicky will share a little bit in a while about that. This is safety nets and tight ropes. And talking about team, this is kind of team development and how to grow individuals, how to grow leaders. As I said, I stole this from a guy called Pete Winter, who I met several years ago, who used to head up a thing called One Life, which is training up young leaders. And he said, he just really challenged me in youth work to say, we spend loads of time entertaining people, but imagine if we invested in them enough to actually grow leaders, and gave a bit of a kind of guide of how we do this. And this guide was how I set up the Pulse Academy. I've used this and said, that's how I want to do the Pulse Academy. And actually since then, everything I do is from this. And I've got an 18-month-old son, and I might start doing this on him soon because I just think it's amazing. Safety nets and tight ropes. You need a tight rope to be able to walk across something that's a bit scary. But you need a safety net to be able to catch you underneath. So the tight rope is the risk. It's the bit that you you kind of are a bit scared about. You think, am I going to achieve it? Am I going to get to the end? I'm not really sure. The safety net is the bit underneath that says, if you fall, it's okay. And so this is how I would go about developing leaders. This is how I'd go about growing team. Let's go for the tightropes to start with. So the first one is vision. This is going to be on a handout, but if you want to kind of write it out, you can do, because it might make more sense. Vision that releases vision. What does that mean? It means I've got a vision for Sports Factory, and I might share a video of that in a few minutes. I've got a vision for Sports Factory. Vicky is passionate about media. And so if that's her passion, I say to Vicky, this is the vision for Sports Factory. How does your passion link with this vision? So how does media link with this? And this is the vision. How can you get involved with it? And how can you grow a part of this vision to be your vision? Is that making sense? So how do you get involved? This is the big vision, but what part do you play in this? And how can I inspire you to play that part? How can you grow the vision even bigger, perhaps, through your passions? Vision that releases vision. The next bit is realistic opportunities. I'm going to pick on Vicky because she's here, but with Vicky, I don't think you'll mind me saying this. No, that's good. When I first met Vicky, Vicky was pretty shy, and I knew that there's something more to Vicky than shyness. She's an amazing girl and got so much to give. And the realistic opportunities bit is kind of saying, okay, what will push Vicky a little bit to make her take the next step forward? What's the thing that is going to scare her a little bit? And to start with, it was coaching in a school. So Vicky was not confident coaching in a school. It was a bit of a scary thing. And we did some coaching sessions with her. And then there came the day where she was going to be coaching on her own in a school. And correct me if I'm wrong, Vicky, but you went on a one-hour prayer walk for that coaching session because she was so scared about it. It pushed her in her faith, and it pushed her towards God as a result of that. It was a realistic opportunity to say, okay, now's the time to step out. Now's the time to go. And somebody said to me, if you want to grow young people who are leaders, don't give them the collection to do. Give them real opportunities. Give them the opportunity to preach. Wow, that would be scary, wouldn't it? But you can train them in that. But give them an opportunity to do stuff that is actually going to grow them. So realistic opportunities is the next thing. Now, Vicky is an amazing coach now, so giving her the opportunity of coaching at a school isn't really a realistic opportunity. She can do that. But this year she's leading Focus Sports, which is HTB's summer holiday, and Vicky's going to be leading the whole of the sports program, which imagine her doing that when she wasn't confident coaching in one school. Like, she's grown so much that she can do that this time. So you have to keep going bigger and bigger in these realistic opportunities. Over here is external engagements. I like this one because it means you go and visit places. Tonight for me, this is an external engagement. I've never met most of you. I know a few of you, not very many of you. And it's a new environment and I'm teaching you something. That for me is an external engagement. Last week we went to London and there's a launch of sports ministry, a national launch of sports ministry. That's an external engagement. We as a team went and visited there. We've gone to Sweden a few times where there's an amazing sports church that I'm trying to get Jonathan to go and visit because it would blow your mind. And it's an external engagement. There's two ways of it. One is that you go and teach what you know. And the other side of an external engagement is that you go and learn from other people in a different context. But whatever, you get out of your own context and you go and see and you get inspired. External engagements. They're the three tightropes. Vision that releases vision, realistic opportunities, and external engagements. These are the safety nets. The first one is mentoring and accountability. I think I've spelled that right. Mentoring and accountability might be direct or indirect. I find that sometimes, if I'm not a massive reader, but sometimes people have given me a book and said, Ruth, you need to read that. And that's been a kind of mentor to me, to be honest, that book. Or I've got a lady who mentors me who I chat to on the phone once a month, and we text quite regularly. And when I'm doing big things, she's praying for me and she's advising me. And when I've gone through difficult stages in my life, she's had some strong words or some gracious words towards me. But then I've got people who speak into my life at different angles, and I've kind of chosen who speaks into my life in different ways. So mentoring and accountability is one. With all of the Sports Factory team, we try to make sure that they've got people who are mentoring them. And I always think mentoring sounds like this kind of sort of relationship, but I actually think it's kind of more doing life, people that they can do life with who aren't necessarily in the immediate vicinity. So yeah, mentoring and accountability is one. The next one's training. So the reason that Vicky has got two essays due on Friday is that she's doing a course, a degree in sports ministry, alongside working full-time, alongside going on a skiing holiday a few weeks ago. And so consequently, she's got quite a lot to do in a few days' time. But training is really important. And for sports ministry, it's getting sports qualifications, but it's also being trained in theology, if that's what we need, or evangelism, or how to set up a sports tournament and all that sort of stuff. Some of that's qualifications and some of that's just kind of informal stuff. And the last one is C of E, culture of encouragement. And I think this one is huge. Oh, I've spelt that wrong and I might have gone on that board, but never mind. Culture of encouragement. This is where we really try to do this in the Sports Factory, of how do we build a culture of encouragement. And for us, it means every Monday morning we meet together, we pray for an hour together, and then we read the Bible for an hour together, actually the other way around. But we do that on a Monday morning, and every now and then we'll go and play sport together instead of doing that. Or a few weeks ago we went out for breakfast together. And on a Friday the team meet together and just say, how are you doing? What's going on? How's life? And we all got the same kit, which builds a culture of encouragement. Often I'll say to people, why don't you read this book, or have you listened to this talk? We're on WhatsApp all the time talking about a lot of work stuff, but also having a bit of a laugh as well with that. Last week we went out to Pizza Express together as a team. And for me, as the leader of the team, I think it's really important to invest in that. And investing costs money. And so if we go out for a meal, I'll try and chip in and pay for that meal, because I think there's something of setting the standard of building a culture of encouragement and investing in people as well. And that costs, doesn't it? It costs your time and it costs your money. But I love the team. Two of the team members are godparents to, well, one's just left, but they're godparents to my son. That's how much I really care about the team. And the guys are always kind of, not always around my house, but regularly they're welcome around my house and we hang out, because that's what it takes, isn't it, to build team and to invest in team. So these are the different things. I just thought for 2 minutes, because I've been talking for ages, maybe you could have a chat about this. What do you think about this? Is this foreign to you? Is it something you're probably already doing, a lot of this stuff, without kind of giving it labels? But what would this look like in your setting as well? Any of those kind of questions, have a chat on your tables just for a few minutes about what you think about that. Okay, let's call it together. I'm just going to ask Vicky to come up now to break from her essay writing. And I just thought it would be helpful to hear from Vicky. Let's give Vicky a clap, because she didn't have to come tonight and sacrificed a decent grade to come tonight. But Vicky, what is it like to be on the other side of this? I know that probably the first few times we met, I said, this is the plan, this is what we're going to do. If you get involved in the Sports Factory, this is what we're going to do. How did that make you feel? What was it like for you early on?
Do you mean from when I became an intern?
Yeah,
so
yeah.
So when I first started?
Yeah.
So at first, like Ruth said, I was so shy, so timid. If you asked me to come and stand up here, I'd be at the back, like running outside, like I'd be like crying, basically. To have the opportunity to be involved in this is amazing. The whole safety nets, tight ropes is something that I now go and say to everyone, because I think it's an incredible idea. Like mentoring and accountability, it's such an important aspect. Ruth saw potential in me. second day when I went to Focus, I was like, basically, I went to Focus and I was exceedingly bored. I couldn't sit still. And I was like, what do I do? I've gone on this week away. I don't want to do what I'm supposed to do. So I went and spoke to someone in the church and they were like, go and speak to Ruth and get involved in the sports. And on the second day, she was like, why don't you come do an internship before you're supposed to go to Australia? I'm still here now, so let's see how that works out. But the fact that she saw potential in me, she believed in me, and like investing in me, and the fact that the team around me has just been amazing.
Really good. Thanks. And for you, tell me a bit about external engagements. Where have you been over the last bit of time? What have you seen?
So I've been to Gloucester twice to see what goes on there. We've been to Kick London, which is another sports ministry. I've been to Sweden twice, which has been amazing to see what goes on there. The ministry out there is incredible. They're 20 years ahead of us, 100%.
Great. Brilliant. And how, in terms of your sports coaching ability, like your confidence and sort of and that sort of thing, how has that grown in terms of sport, but also personally?
Yeah, so before I started doing my internship, I'd never coached before. As I said, I would be terrified. So to do a coaching session, I've now qualified in level 2 children's fitness. I'm looking at doing a level 3 PT when I can afford it and fit it in as with the degree and everything else. And my confidence has changed phenomenally. My faith has grown so much through investing in the team that I've been involved in, and through reading the Bible, through getting stuck into God's word, and through learning about that and just being involved in that.
Brilliant. Thanks, Vic. We might bring you up again in a bit, but you can have a seat for a minute. Thank you. I just want to share a few more kind of things. Some of this stuff, I'll be speaking to people who already know it, so I apologise if you know this stuff already. But it's just been really helpful for me. I basically think in diagrams. I'm dyslexic and a bit of a visual person. So this is the second diagram that we use in the sports factory, which I'm sure a few people will know here. Again, all of this is stolen. None of it is mine. But this is I do, you watch. I do, you help. You do, I help. You do, I watch. And then you get somebody else. Sorry, my writing's got smaller as I've gone round. But the principle being that, and this is what we've done with Vicky, that, for example, for coaching, I do a session, you come along and watch what I do. The next time, a few weeks later, I'll do a session, but I'll get you to lead a bit of the session. So Vicky several times actually, has led Pilates and isn't a qualified Pilates instructor, but has done it because I've kind of taken her on this cycle. And it means if I go on holiday, she can fill in for me, which is amazing. The next bit, you do it and I help you. And the last bit, well, the second to last bit, you do it and I watch you. And within all of that, I would give Vicky feedback and saying, how you do it, like, how did that go? What do you think we could do better? That sort of thing. And the last bit, you go and get someone else and you take them on this cycle again. And we often forget the last bit. We often think we've completed the kind of cycle. But actually, if you want to grow the ministries that we're doing, we need to keep taking people on. And the verse that the sports factory is based on is one in Thessalonians 2. I love 1 Thessalonians in terms of discipleship. I just think it's brilliant. And in terms of the challenge, it kind of talks about daring to tell the gospel to people, the kind of daring to share and that sort of stuff. I love that. But this verse is the bit that really stands out. It says in 1 Thessalonians 2, verse 8, because we loved you so much, we were delighted to share with you not only the gospel of God, but our lives as well. The idea of it takes sharing life and doing life with people and sharing the gospel, takes those two things. I think of it of when I go skiing, which sadly hasn't been very much recently, but I love going skiing. I've messed up with my hair. So I love going skiing, and the best sandwich for skiing. What's the best sandwich for skiing? Anyone know? Oh man, come on. Not many slopes in Norfolk, are there? The best sandwich is peanut butter and jam, because the peanut butter gives you a load of energy and the jam just adds sweetness. And I feel like that with sharing the gospel, that if you just share the gospel and you don't share your life, then you maybe have the energy, but you don't have the sweetness. If you just share your life and you don't share the gospel, maybe you have the sweetness, but you don't have the kind of energy and power behind it. But you put them both together, and it's the most delicious but nutritious and like energizing sandwich for skiing. And the Sports Factory is based on that. And we loved you so much that we're delighted to share not only the gospel of God, but our lives as well. And the way we do that is, again, this diagram is not ours. We've stolen it from somewhere. So thank you if it was you that we stole it from. Is the pizza diagram. Everything seems to be a bit food related. This is how we work with things in the Sports Factory. So at the moment we do quite a lot of children's stuff, so we're in schools. So if I put children here. So if you imagine this is first contact with children, and then this is the really interesting bit for this course of what's the central bit. What do you want? Where do you want people to end up? And I believe one is in a relationship with Jesus, but another one is in relationship with people, which means church, with people who are Christians. So I'm going to put church in the center here, whatever that looks like. And each kind of jump on this is another stage of them either making a commitment or deciding, yeah, we're going to take a step closer to hearing and allowing more to be spoken into our life about Jesus. And as it goes this way into the middle, these people are going to share more of the gospel. They're going to hear more about the gospel, but also they're going to share more of life with me and with other Christians. So, for example, for children, we go into lots of schools. And schools pay us, which is amazing, to go in and do things like lunch clubs. I'll just put schools work here. But we do lunch clubs, we do after school clubs, we do in school PE lessons. We do this thing called Active RE, which is PE and RE together. So we open the Bible in schools, which is amazing, and schools are paying us to do this stuff. Opening the Bible in schools and doing it. Doing PE with children at the same time. So we do that, and then we invite children along to some of the stuff that we do. So we do this thing called FDS, which is football development sessions, where each week we have a football club and then we tell people about Jesus within that football club. Vicky, you lead that, don't you, a bit sometimes? Brilliant. And we also invite them along to Legacy. Legacy is our holiday club that's going on at the moment on a Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. So we had 50 children today who came, played sport for like 5 or 6 hours and heard about Jesus. We told them the story of the Good Samaritan today, and they probably all of them could tell you what the story of the Good Samaritan is and some point about the Good Samaritan. So they get invited along to that, and we can invite them along, give them flyers in the school. And then from that, we invite them along to the next thing. And this is where we have takeover. We have church takeovers. I don't know what we call it, church takeover Sundays or something like that, where in the church we invite the children with their families along to church and say, this is a special service just for you and for the church congregation. But we've got a football cage. We might put the football cage up in the church. Or we might have a video of all that's gone on at Legacy or an awards ceremony. But we'll do church as normal, but we'll adapt it to make it more kind of sport friendly or whatever. And people come along to that. And then from that, we basically see, would they like to come along to church in general or get involved in the church activities? So there's lots of kids work that goes on in the church. And in the summer, we do a summer of sport, and we do kind of barbecues and special sports days and things like that, so we'll invite people along to that. And the whole time they're hearing more about Jesus, but they're also meeting more of the church family. And we do this in lots of different areas. So we do adults and the first contact being Pilates. And we do another thing for older people on a Thursday. And then we do, on a Monday we do football, and Tuesday we do netball, and Wednesday is a running club, and Saturday there's a football club, and all these sort of things. And on all of it, people get invited to the next thing. So in January we took 30 people to Centre Parks for the weekend, mainly adults, where they heard about Jesus. Vicky did one of the talks, I think, and Susie did another, and a guy called Matty did another. And they played loads of sport throughout the weekend, but heard about Jesus. And it's really cool that some of them at the end said they wanted to start coming along to church, and some of them took Bibles home with them. And it's just amazing that, so with all the things, with different age groups and different things, that's kind of how we work. Really intentionally thinking, okay, where does that fit into our pizza slice? And if it doesn't fit in, let's not do it. And that's kind of our thinking behind that. Maybe you just want to take a few minutes to have a chat about those two things, about the square here. It might be something you're really familiar with anyway, but also about the pizza slice. Would that work for what you're doing? Is that new to you? Have a few minutes just to chat about that. Question and answer session. Not that I've got all the answers, but maybe we can kind of between us discuss a few of those. But I thought for a moment you might just want to stand up, like do a bit of Pilates, give your legs a bit of a stretch if you want to. Have 30 seconds just to stand up if you want. If you're comfy, don't bother, but you can if you want to. And if you've got any questions, then in a moment, PJ's going to be coming around with the microphone. As I said, I'm not like the person with all the answers, but it would be good to kind of hear what's on your heart and also discuss that amongst us. So if you've got better answers than me, then please throw them in. That's great.
So if you've got a question, check your hand in the air.
Cool. And,
share.
Wendy from the Fountain of Life. I love the pizza thing. And I was just asking Ruth. Yes, the intention is always clearly to get people into church because that's where people will be discipled, whereas a bit further out they might not be. And a lot of people that we've invited get to the church activities, but never quite make church.
Yeah.
And I just wondered whether you just have to live with that disappointment, or what do you do if you get stuck at that point?
Or I guess, great question. Thanks, Wendy. I guess one thing that really challenges me is the kind of what is, and I think you might have covered this in the course, but what is the essentials of church? And has church become kind of, have we made church so churchy? Like, does it have to be like that? And there are essentials to church. And I think sometimes we're quite quick to call. So people could look at Pilates and say that's church, but I'm not really sure it is, because I'm not sure that the people who come along to Pilates, I don't know their motivation to come along to Pilates, if that makes sense. I'm not sure whether they come to worship God or whether they just come to, like, why they come. But actually, I don't know the motivation for anyone to come to church necessarily, so does that really matter? So I think that unravels loads of questions, but I wonder whether this needs to change. And whether we need to think about this changing. And I'm really personally thinking about that in terms of what would sports church look like. And I don't want sport to be the thing that's glorified. I really don't. I love sport, but in a way I don't care about sport. I care about Jesus, and I do care about sport. But, you know, it's not the sport and church don't have the same weighting. But what would it look like if sport was written through the whole of this, rather than you get to church and suddenly there's no sport. If that's the common ground that people come in on, do I have a responsibility to say, okay, well, what would that look like if we played sport for half an hour, or what would that look like? Is that okay? I think that's okay. So I wonder whether there's responsibility for us not to change the essentials of church, not to water it down, not to change the key things that we need. Because people, my friend Andy Harding, who I used to work with, used to say, people want the real thing. They want Coke, not a fake version of Coke. They want the real thing. And so we don't want to water it down and just teach values or whatever. We want to be true to the Bible and true to Jesus. But do we have to change what the trimmings? Do we have to change that? And I haven't got the answer to that, but that would be my kind of challenge back. Sorry, that doesn't really answer.
That works in so many ways in terms of, if we think about engaging with kids, is the context relevant to kids? I've got a friend who's planted a Portuguese church. He has a Portuguese-speaking community. So he's like, we need to plant a Portuguese church where the service is in Portuguese, because that makes sense for those sort of people. So whatever we're thinking about, as we're starting to think about our context, where we want to go, actually is the direction of travel going to a place which is appropriate for that. Great.
I also want to say I also just want to say on that I think relationship is really key within that. And even if they don't come on Sunday, if they're going through a crisis in their life, they might well come because you're still in relationship with them. And so I think that's really important that we keep that relationship. Takes time and investment, but it's so important. And prayer is absolutely key, isn't it? Continually praying for those people. My brother isn't a Christian and grew up being a Christian, and I'm one of five children, and my parents and my sisters, we pray for my brother loads, and he's just not interested. He's married a non-Christian and he's not interested, but what is amazing when you see little glimmers of him being interested again, and you think, oh wow. And it just encourages you to pray more. And I think prayer is kind of the powerhouse, isn't it, behind, under it all.
Great. More questions?
There's a question over here as well. Are you able to ask
you a question?
Thank you. We're from Lowestoft. What we're intrigued about is, how do you go from nothing to a sports ministry? Yeah. What are the sort of the steps along the way?
Yeah. Passion. When I started, nobody understood sports ministry. Actually, this is how we started in Norwich. I sat in Ian Dybel's garden, who's the minister of St. Thomas Church, and I said, I'm interested in sports ministry. I'd known him for years, and he said, well, you can come here, we've got no money, but you can come if you want. And it was a bit nicer than that. He was like, we'd love to have you as well. And he didn't say you can come if you want. And I had another job opportunity as well, which is a kind of bigger role in sports ministry, a bit more of a national role. And I prayed and I spent a day praying. I just felt, no, go local. So I did. And we had no money, but I prayed about it and happened to sit next to a millionaire at a conference, and who said that they would part fund my job. And I know that's like, oh, I happen to sit next to a millionaire. But if God is in it, then you happen to sit next to a millionaire on occasions.
So do you think it's more about a church deciding we want a sports ministry, or a person who is a potential sports minister arriving and going, this is what I have a passion for, and this is a place that, you know, I believe God's leading me to do that?
Yeah, probably the second, but under this context, I'd say both, because we're in a unique opportunity that through this kind of initiative, sport is key in it. And so I think at the moment, if a church said we want a sports ministry, I think Sports Factory would say, what can we do about this? If a church was passionate and willing to do the groundwork in that, then it would be a really exciting conversation to have. But I do think that you, for sports ministry in particular, you probably need someone who's going to say, I'm going to fly the flag for this, and I'm going to lead you in this. And so I think it's a bit of both. But what was crazy with my kind of experience was, I started sports ministry in this church, and honestly, the first few weeks, I just decided that every day I would spend an hour praying for sports ministry, and because I had nothing. Like, there was nothing, and Ian Dybel had just taken over the church at St. Thomas, so it was really early days. And I was just kind of praying for an hour. I'd pray, and I'd have no names to pray for because I was working with nobody. And then I set a Wednesday night evening, a Wednesday kind of 6 p.m. children's thing up. I hired a sports hall for a whole term, and one child turned up for the whole term with their mum. And it was a disaster. And I was like, oh, my goodness, this isn't working. And then I set up a lunchtime revision thing in a park over the summer, and nobody turned up, nobody at all. Like, it was a disaster. And then I set up Monday night football, and 20 people came along, and that's been going ever since. And while I was in the park, when nobody came along, I just went over and started playing basketball in the park and got chatting, which is my passion. That's the sport I grew up playing. Got chatting to this lad, started playing one-on-one basketball with him, invited him to come to Monday night football. He brought a mate along, and suddenly I had two non-Christians coming along on a Monday night. And then something crazy happened, that somebody rang me up and said, Ruth, I've been given some money, in inheritance money, and I'd like to give you some of that. And I was like, amazing. They said, do you want it for anything specific? It's got to be a specific thing. I said, oh, I'll have a think. And I had a thought, and I thought, let's get a football cage. But then I didn't dare ring the person back because it's inheritance money from their dad. And I thought, I can't ring up and say, can I have your inheritance money? I know you've offered it, but I was just like, oh, it's just not the conversation I want to have. But I wanted to buy a football cage to have physically. This is what sports ministry is, to just kind of say, you can see this football cage is an attractional thing. Children and young people and people who don't come to church will come and play in this, and we'll have opportunities for conversations and faith conversations as well. So I wanted to get it. So I was praying and saying, God, what do I do? I can't ring this person up. They live in London. What do I do about this? And really, God, randomly, I was praying about it. And that Sunday morning, went to church, and this guy and his wife were sitting in St. Thomas Church. They'd never been there before. And I sat behind them and like, oh, how are you doing? Can I have the money? And it was a great context to ask. And it cost about £2,000. And that was the exact amount, you know, the kind of way God does stuff. And then it was just me doing things, and that's fine. But I wasn't leading anybody or anything. And then I got given a phone number of a guy and rang up this guy. And it was Will who rang up, and he said, I heard you might want to become an intern. I explained safety nets and tight ropes and the pizza diagram on the phone. And he said, okay, I'll come for 3 months. And he stayed for 5 years. And he's one, the godfather of our son. And I think it's just praying and God being in it as well is how it starts. And just being willing to say, okay, we've prayed about this. Let's just give it a go. Let's just step out and have loads of failures. We talk about successes, but actually the failures were huge for me as well. I could show you a flashy video of look what we do, but actually behind all that is look what went wrong as well, that I don't show on a video, but there's all those stories. Look who didn't turn up, all these people.
Amazing. Any more questions? Oh, we're back, yeah.
Thank you. This is really interesting. In terms of your sports ministry, you said you're going into schools,
yeah,
and you're getting paid for it, which is lovely. And presumably you're trying to use your pizza wheel thing to slowly draw people back into church, ultimately. So are they all intending to go back to St. Thomas's? Is that where you're taking them to? Or are you suggesting that they go to their local churches, other churches?
Well, the local church that the parish is based in, yes.
Mm.
So the schools work that... So I started working for St. Thomas until October then I started working for the diocese. So the school stuff where we were working was all in the parishes based at St. Thomas. So all of it, the whole aim was, let's funnel these people into the church. So, yes. Where are you based?
Yeah, we're not in Fountain of Life.
Yeah, great. So if it was round here, I don't even know where the schools are around here, but it would be saying go to your local church, go to the church which is going to feed you and going to disciple you, whatever that is. And that's the exciting thing now with the diocese stuff, is that we're working in a few different areas at the moment. And the aim definitely isn't go to St. Thomas Church, because that's just not, that's not the aim. The aim is go to your local church, because that's what we want, to revitalise this local church and this local church and this local church. And so we're starting doing a few bits in different places, which is really exciting, because it's a whole next step for Sports Factory to say, oh, this worked in this place, but it's a city. Could it work in this place over here, which is miles away from anywhere? Could it work here, or could it work here? And that's where it's really exciting. And I think if the local church is on board and praying and doing a Bernard of getting involved and buying your hoodie and buying your ball, I think that's got loads of potential. And I think there's the potential with a kind of doing a Bernard of, Bernard loved those people he was working with and knows he's still doing the work now. He's pretty old now, but he's still doing the work now. And I left 6 years ago, you know, that he's the longevity to it. And so I think that's really important.
Cool. Thank you. So he's doing 90 push-ups now, is he?
He must be. No, seriously, he's crazy. he's a good guy.
Great.
Any other questions?
None at all. Oh, there's also a hand. Here we go.
Do you mean that you train the intern? We have somebody here. They come to Norwich and get trained and can come back to us. Is that how it works? You're yeah. Training our...
Can I share my vision for Sports Factory, what I'd like to see happen? I think you've got it. There's a bit on this as well that Jonathan's handed out. But this is my vision for Sports Factory, if I'm honest with you. I shared it with Jonathan last week, so it's hot off the press, but it's been in my mind for ages. I'd like to create a training centre for sports ministry where people across the country come and get trained in sports ministry. And the way I'd like to get to work is that I'm from Cromer. So over here in Cromer, Cromer Church employs a sports minister. And I've done Cromer in the wrong place. I'll do Cromer here. And then over here in Lowestoft, yeah, that's it. Yeah, I got it. Over here, you guys employ a sports minister over here. And then, oh no, where should we be? Swaffham. That'll be inland a bit here. Over here in Swaffham. Not to scale. you guys employ a sports minister. And then over here in Blakeney, they employ a sports minister. And in Norwich, they employ probably lots of sports ministers because they're bigger. And in Yarmouth, they employ a sports minister. And each of those has an intern so that you at least are not working on your own. And it's loved and supported by the local church. But every Monday, each of these people come to Norwich, probably Norwich, where they read the Bible for an hour together as a team, where they pray together as a team for an hour, where we train them up and say, how do you teach active RE? What does this look like? What does this look like? So they have a whole Monday with us where they get mentoring and discipleship, where they basically, they don't get realistic opportunities, they don't get external engagements on a Monday, but they get a culture of encouragement, they get training, they get mentoring and accountability, and they get a bit of renewed vision each week. So they come on a Monday to do that, and the rest of the week, they're in their local context. On a Sunday, if they meet for church on a Sunday, they're in church on a Sunday, loved and supported by the local church. And then we together do some external engagements. So they come together and we all go to London together, or we all go to Sweden together. And they bring with them somebody else, a volunteer, who, like a Bernard from Lowestoft, and say, why don't you come to Sweden? And they bring my mum and dad live in Cromer. They bring my parents. They'd love to go to Sweden. And they bring all these people that we have a trip to Sweden together. The realistic opportunities is done locally. A lot of the vision is done locally with a bit of Sports Factory vision as well, to kind of sharpen each other. But all the training is done locally. And then there's area-wide quizzes and stuff like that where we all get together and we go on trips together and that sort of stuff. That's what I'd like to see happen. Yeah, that would be my passion. And here in Norwich is maybe the place where we're 5 years ahead of these places because they haven't started yet. But it's not the place where we draw people to in terms of discipleship. That's completely done locally. We just disciple the workers.
Amazing. Any more questions people thought up? Oh, there we go. You said I'm going to make my way to the front and then get pulled back. It's great.
I'm just curious to ask, you've talked about this sports church in Sweden.
Yeah.
We have a connection with Sweden and I'm just curious to know where it is.
Yeah, it's in, with my best Swedish accent, Jönköping.
Oh, yeah, I know where that is.
Do you?
Yeah,
do. Okay.
Yeah, our daughter-in-law is Swedish.
Ah, so I was going to say something Swedish. I don't know anything. I was like, ah, yeah. But
I can say, hey. Thank you.
Yeah, it's worth going to have a look, though. We're going to take another trip.
So should we go on a holiday quite near there in June?
Yeah, Jonathan said that we can have a sports factory trip there this year. So if anyone wants to come and have a look, then June, okay.
June. Oh, yeah, no.
Ruth, we've talked a lot about sport.
Yeah.
But what is the principles that you would say if you take sport out of it?
Yeah.
What's the principle? What are the principles that you think actually? Sport is just, if you like, the vehicle, isn't it? It's just the thing. So there may be people who are, I don't like sport very much.
Yeah.
Sport, not very interested in that. So what would be the principle that you could say, okay, this could work?
Yeah. Great. Firstly, sport isn't, you're right, but I just want to tell you about sport, that it is, no, I do, seriously, because you might not be into sport, but most of the country is into sport or fitness or well-being. 8 out of 10, out of all the TV programs that were watched in between 2010 and 2020, the top 10, 8 of them were sport, and the other ones were Gavin and Stacey, and Christmas Special, and The X Factor. So I will answer that, but let me just show you this quickly, another little diagram, if that's okay. I forgot to show this around in 3. After this, I haven't got many other diagrams. This is kind of it for me. I'll start with in sport. I don't know whether anyone does. Hands up if you in your life have played in a sports team. In a sports team. At some point. Yeah, you've committed to a sports team that you've been a regular attender of. Put your hand up. Oh yeah, great. So for me, growing up I played basketball and when I was at university I played in the university basketball team and I was in that sports team, which meant on a Monday evening I trained, on a Tuesday morning I trained, on a Wednesday afternoon I played, on a Thursday evening I trained. We played matches, National League matches on a Saturday. It was like full-on basketball, basketball, basketball. And so I showered with the girls, I ate with the girls, I cried with the girls, I celebrated with the girls. I was there on a Wednesday night when we all went out and I was like, this is horrible, but I was holding sick buckets with the girls when they drank too much. Like I was literally, I did life with the girls completely. I was in sport and I had the most amazing opportunities with the girls. During my university time, I didn't do anything special. I was just me. But I joined Christians in Sport, who are like the main in sport organisations, Christians in Sport. They're brilliant. If you know people who play sport, particularly younger people, but anyone, they do some amazing stuff. Check out their website. But I was in a Christians in Sport group, and it just encouraged me to pray for my teammates, to play in a way that honoured God. And when I got the opportunity to say something about Jesus, to play, pray, say. And in terms of like relating that to anything, you could say that with anything. Pray for your friends, live, play, like do life in a way that honours God. And when you get the opportunity, say something about Jesus. But I was taught how to do that. And what was really cool, I just said, yeah, I'm going to do this. So I started running. When we did a warm-up, I just felt like God said to me, don't cut corners when the coach has gone downstairs to get the balls. Don't cut corners, just run around the court. And I did. And after like 2 or 3 years, this girl, Sarah, wrote me a letter and she said, hi, Ruth, I've noticed that you never cut corners when we run around basketball. I think it's related to your faith. Could I start coming to church? And I was like, oh my goodness. Like, it was that simple. When you're in sport, when you're doing life with people, when they notice that you don't swear when everyone else does, when they notice that you drink less than everybody else does, when they notice when different things, when they notice when you mess up, but you say sorry as well and you admit that you're wrong, like, there's something in that. And so in sport is one of those things. Through sport is what we do. We do sports coaching. We coach in schools. We use sport as a vehicle, like you said, to tell people about Jesus. That's the opening. Some schools have been closed to St. Thomas Church going into that school, but if we say, can we come and coach sport, they'll say yes. And we have to obey their rules in terms of, they say, you're not allowed to tell people about Jesus. And we're like, fine. Can we hand out flyers to invite them things? And they say yes. And so we do whatever kind of the school says that we can do. But we use sport as a vehicle in order to reach people. That's through sport. And this is the around sport bit, which is partly what I want to touch on, is that most of us during the 2012 Olympics, and this is an Olympic year this year, most of us will watch the Olympic Games at some point, I imagine. Most of us might watch the Football World Cup final, or it's the Euros this year. We might watch that, or we might watch whether England stay in or go out. Maybe you're not wired to play sport. Maybe you're not interested in using sport as a vehicle to tell people about Jesus, but you might watch it, or you might be up for watching the London Marathon, or if there's a fun run going through your town or village, you might stand and serve drinks or something like that. This is around sport, gathering around sport. And for my cul-de-sac, where I lived in Gloucestershire, which happened to have three people who came along to the Pulse Academy, for that, when it was the opening ceremony for the Olympics in 2012, I decided to have everyone on my cul-de-sac around for to have an opening ceremony party. And no one was really interested in the sport apart from these three guys. Then my next door neighbour was a massively overweight lady who cleaned out houses and wasn't into sport at all. But when I knocked on her door and said, would you be interested in doing this? She was like, oh yeah, I love a party. Yeah, brilliant. And she was a bit of a dodgy dealer, so she said, what do you need? I'll get what you need. And she turned up with a big box of burgers, like a massive cardboard box of burgers, not like a kind of, I bought this from the supermarket. It had like that, I don't know how many, hundreds of burgers. And she said, don't ask, Ruth, don't ask, but you've got burgers and they're good. And I was like, oh, okay, great. So it's probably stolen stuff that we were eating. But we had... there was a little driveway and she managed to get this massive table from somewhere and we sat around and someone else got bunting and we sat around and we chatted and I got to know the guy up the road who had a green car. I got to know that his name was Erin and I didn't know that before, and I got to know that the lady opposite me, her name was Jo, and I got to know a bit of her story, and I got to know the lady up the road who was about to get married, and she found out that I was a personal trainer and she said, I'm going to get married, can we do a few sessions of personal training together? And I found community in the cul-de-sac with people who weren't sporty at all, but because we gathered around the Olympics, they didn't care about the Olympics. And we sat and we ate stolen burgers and everyone drank whatever they drank. And then we went into my house and we watched the Olympic opening ceremony, which is really boring. It's like, and now comes the Congo, and now comes Canada, and now comes 400 other places beginning with C, and then let's go on to D. And it's really boring, but we had a real amazing time. And no one left my house till about 2 or 3 in the morning. I was like begging people to leave, but they didn't leave. But we got to know each other, and it was amazing. We were gathering around sport. And I think most people, like in terms of the principles, great. If you're not into sport, then gather around knitting or gather around cooking or Eurovision, gather around whatever you're into, gather around it. But use if you're doing it with people, pray, play, say it. If you use it as a vehicle, then great, do that. Or gather around it and host a great party over whatever that thing is. I'm passionate about sports and a lot of the country are passionate about sport. And so that's a great place to start, but you don't have to start there.
Amazing. That's it. Should we just give Ruth some thanks for coming this evening? She is, and Vicky as well. For giving up your time. These guys are incredible and they do amazing things. And I just love how not only are they just thinking missionally constantly, they're also just thinking discipleship constantly, to how to grow and encourage one another in their faiths, both in equal measure, is fantastic. It'd be great to pray together. So maybe just gather around your tables again, and maybe there's something that's caught your mind, something that has really grabbed you, maybe an idea you want to hold on, or maybe that might be about sport, might be something else which you want to apply these ideas to. Let's pray for those together, and then I'll wrap us up in about 10, 15 minutes or so. So, gather around your tables and we'll pray. Thank you much for all the Sports Factory are doing. Thank you so much for Ruth's vision to see sport as an amazing God-given thing that you want to use to just bring your kingdom here. Thank you that the Church of England is starting to recognise that across this country. Thank you for this time we've had this evening to just learn from Ruth's amazing wisdom, and to hopefully just really saw something of that we may be able to take into the different places where we are, Lord. Amen. A few quite important notices. Can you put the slides up about the conferences, because I can't remember the dates? There's a few things we'd love to make you aware of, things for your diary, if you're able to. First of all is Pioneer Catalyst, which is in a few weekends' time. If the idea of pioneering new innovative church ideas and concepts are interesting for you, do find out about that. It's on the Diocesan website. Next one. Multiply. You might have known a few weeks ago, John Valentine came from the Gregory Centre for Church Planting. It's a national conference in London with some amazing speakers coming to talk about church planting. Do go on again, look onto that. It's an amazing one. And the last one, I think, is the Youth Evangelism Conference, which is next weekend. So if you're thinking about how to engage young people in church, particularly youth, that's an amazing thing to go on to. Again, Diocesan Church website to look onto that. Brilliant. Also, we've been hearing your feedback, and do keep feeding back to us about how you're finding this. There's feedback forms outside again. Don't feel like you just have to do it from this week's session. There's things which have built up over time you'd love to tell us about. Do. On that next week, we're going to try and bring together some of the things we've done over the last few weeks, have time together, like we did a few weeks ago, in areas, groups of people of where we're living, and start piecing some of this together. What about models from church planting last week, about this idea of team and discipleship and mission, all those sort of things, actually starting to piece it together, maybe even coming up with some ideas and plans of next steps and those sort of things. So maybe if you've got time this week, start jotting things down on a piece of paper, which, I'd love to remember this for next week, and then bring that with you, and we're going to spend some time again in groups just talking some of that through, wrestling some of this stuff, and like I said, piecing it together. So to next week's going to be amazing. I think that's all the things I meant to remember. Great, I got a nod from Jonathan. Have a fantastic week. Thank you so much for coming. It's been a real blessing. Cheers.